Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome to another crazy Monday night edition where we talk about racism, sexism, cop killing. Sean Black not wearing any underwear right now.
Welcome Speak to for yourself. Another edition. It's too cold for nothing. It's too cold to not have anything covered.
Oh, tell that to Anitra B. Welcome to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the Madman himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. And who else is... Oh,
I don't know. Well, screw that person. Let's go on with the topic.
Oh, brother.
Well... Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, or want to vent out to us, please call us on the show later on, 347-989-8402. Remember, once again, later on, call in your questions or thoughts or comments at 347-989-8402. I think I'm ready to piss some people off. What about you, Sean Black?
It's always a good day to piss people off.
Hey, why not?
Hey.
Okay. Let's get this thing started. Excuse me. I sipped only two cranberry juices already in my system.
Stumbling on the cranberry juice already.
Hey, it happens, you know.
Yeah. I think today we're gonna probably be in piss off mode for the whole show.
Oh. Well, hopefully in the next 45 minutes, you know, I need to get my sleep on. I'm an old man.
Of course.
A few weeks ago in Chicago, city official releases a police dash video showing an officer shooting a teenager, Laquan McDonald, 16 times and continuing to fire after the youth falls down to the ground. The court order release of the video came hours after authorities charged Officer Jason Van Dyke with first-degree murder in a teenage killing in Chicago. Before you take it away, it tells what happened and why people are outraged by this. Keep in mind that earlier today, that Officer Jason Van Dyke has been released on bail for $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sean Black, what happened in Chicago and why an incident that happened, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. The shooting happened almost over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the sad part.
Yes, I'm sure it was in the news in Chicago, but now it's nationwide over social media and everything, CNN, all that nonsense. But why are we talking about it right now, Sean Black? What happened?
The reason why is because of the lack of systematic control over what's happening in the city. And we're having a ton of things happen. First of all, we both talked about this with much agreement. We did not want to have another cop killing, especially with any kind of a racial slant involved. Because as we talked about, for those that might have listened to us on Saturday, we did a little 15-20 minute show, kind of like a primer to what we're going to be talking about today. We didn't want to get into this topic because we've talked about these kinds of topics before, and it just happens in a different city or at a different time with a different age teenager or someone else. But it seems to be the same kind of thing. To get to your question about why this has happened, this happened back in October of last year. A 17-year-old, as you just say, Laquan McDonald, there was a call made for a teenager who was walking around in Chicago with a knife. The police came out, as you just said, Jason Van Dyke, who is a member of the Chicago Police Department, has been there. He's 37 years old. He'd been with the force for, 14 years. he was out there to try and apparently stop this incident, supposedly, of threatening teenager with a knife. He, instead of going to stop this guy, and maybe you figure as a cop you shoot him once, if he's threatening or menacing with a weapon to subdue him, he shot him at almost point blank range from 10 feet away, opened fire and shot him once. As we've all seen the video by now, his body jerked around, he spun to the floor, and then landed, and then this police officer, and I'm saying that very lightly, proceeded to basically fire 15 more shots. In essence, he emptied the entire clip into this kid. Kid dies, and the video was seen, and within the last few days, it's created a complete uproar. And the reason why this is because there were so many different places that were trying to keep the video from being seen after all of these things happened. First of all, the ones that tried to stop this from being pushed out there was the Cook County State Attorney, Anita Alvarez. They got the investigation with the video. This is back in November of last year. Now, he was killed October the 20th. And for those that don't realize what kind of person Jason Van Dyke is as a police officer, he has 18 different citizen complaints in the 14 years he served in Chicago as a police officer, was never disciplined. 8 of those counts were excessive force, and 2 of them were by use of a firearm. And in other instances, he was also brought up with alleged to have used racial slurs in situations where he was arresting somebody or coming to stop some sort of situation as a police officer. Now, there are so many things that can go on with this, which is absolutely mind-blowing. As I just said before, the state attorney tried to make sure that the video was released. The Chicago Tribune, the newspaper in Chicago, they tried to get the video pushed in there to get the video released to the public, and they didn't get a chance to get it out there. Also, the McDonald's family lawyers, who in April ended up getting a settlement of, it was, I believe, $5 million, they got a settlement. They decided they didn't want the video to be released at all themselves. They said, well, we understand why people are upset. We don't want this video to be released. Even the local TV stations, NBC Chicago, they wanted to get the everything pushed out there, and that couldn't get taken out there as well. And it's ridiculous that it takes now an entire year for this to be brought out. The Cook County judge, Franklin Valderrama, actually ordered the city to release the video by November 25th of this year, and denied the city a request of a stay to make sure that the video wasn't pushed out there. And I think the main reason why that is the case is because of the uproar that we're getting now of a teenager.
Okay, why do you think they did not want to show the video in the first place?
Because of what's happening right now. They did not want to have the same upheaval that's been going on in Ferguson and in other places where in Staten Island, where we had the person getting murdered by the police, we've seen in not helping out by from the police officers after so many things happening there, and in other instances where it appears that the police either put their hands or did not help out or blatantly did something that caused the death of a person, especially a minority, an African American. And we are seeing this played out a lot. A 17-year-old who has a knife in his hand as an excuse to execute and right there and get this taken care of. Now, here's something else that's quite interesting about this. The district manager of a Burger King near the scene of the shooting has actually said for a long time, for at least months, that the Chicago police deleted the restaurant security footage because apparently there's footage of the shooting from the local McDonald's in the area. And from what they're saying is that in May, the video was looked at and captured by the police, I guess, as evidence. And they said there's 86 minutes of footage from the time the shooting is actually missing from the footage. So there's something there to wonder about. So you have what seems to be some kind of cover-up. We're not sure. We have a cop who absolutely lost his mind and just emptied an entire clip into a 17-year-old. We have a city that tried to make sure that that film footage was not used or seen by anybody in the world. And then you got this upheaval that's going on now. The crazy thing about this is the cop gets charged with murder only after the court finally ordered the videotape to be released. That's a nugget to think about. The city didn't want it to be released at all.
And do you blame them for not releasing the video in the beginning?
I know the premise behind why they didn't want to, but when you wait an entire year for this to happen and all of the things that have happened in between and then all of the things that have happened in this country when it comes to the police and race relations and criminality or perceived criminality from the victims that are going into these things, it's sickening because this pattern continues to happen on a regular basis, and it's not going to stop because what it seems to be is the ones that have the power and the money to get things done aren't getting anything done at all. We have to wait an entire year, and the family, as I said before, they've settled with the police in the city. They got a $5 million settlement out of this whole deal, and this police officer, like you just said, the police officer is now out on bail. So he's going to stand trial at some point.
So let's go. Let's retrack a little bit. The family got a settlement. Mm-hmm. The officer was indicted. There's more than what other families gotten. At least some officer got indicted. We saw the video. So bottom line, what is the outroar about? What is the outrage?
The outrage is once again.
There have been many officers that never got indicted. At least this one got quote unquote indicted. Even though it's free right now, at least the family got a lawsuit settlement. And it's not the first. This won't be the last. There will be one of the many, of these strategies to happen. So what is the outroar about this time?
The uproar is once again the chain of events that happened. As I said before, this poor child was killed last year in October. Then you get the next month. The video was picked up as an investigation. We know that the state attorney's office, they got the tape. The local newspapers wanted to push this out there so that it can be done. It was filed under the Freedom of Information Act. And they requested that the law department in Chicago and the police actually go ahead and release the video so people can see this. And then that was denied. The lawyers get their money because they've settled out of court. The city gave them $5 million, and this is before they even filed the lawsuit. So mind you, the lawsuit hadn't even been filed. They got the money knowing something was going to come down, and this is probably, as a lot of people are imagining, it's probably hush money in the sense of they don't want to have a big litigious thing going on where they're going to have a lawsuit between the family members and the city.
And is there anything wrong with that?
They're in on principle.
Hush money. If I'm trying to calm you down, I don't want anything to blow out of proportion, is there anything wrong with that part of the system?
Well, here's the thing. When you're looking at a case like this, it's not necessarily about money. It's about the principle behind their child was assassinated in the street. The dash cam caught all of this. There is video footage, perhaps elsewhere, from the local fast food restaurant. And there's 86 minutes of footage missing from the incident. How is that the case? There's something wrong here. And when you have this many, if you have these many hands in the pot, so to speak, something is definitely wrong. And it makes you think and wonder, what is the point? Like you said, why are anybody upset? Because it looks like there's a cover-up going on. Not only does it look like a cover-up, but it also brings to the attention all of the violence and all of the anger that's going on with the people in Chicago and the animosity that the minorities are feeling between the police officers and their own community. And there is that seething under the skin feeling that justice will never be served, because if all it takes is to quote unquote buy the family off or to put money away to the side and let them get that settlement, that nothing else is going to come of this. Now, we talked about the whole thing that happened in Ferguson. Ferguson still to this day had people protesting about what happened to Michael Brown. That has not died down. And I think what Chicago was afraid of is that same level of action happening in Chicago, where there seems to be death on the streets with young teenagers on a daily basis. They don't want to see this ignite. And that's what I think is the issue.
Okay, but you said earlier, this poor young guy. Yes, he was young, but I don't know anything about his history. I don't know who this kid is. May he rest in peace. But at the same time, he was carrying a gun in the middle of the street, correct?
He was carrying a knife.
A knife. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was carrying a small knife, and he was actually walking away from the officers. Now,
okay,
Okay,
you got to play devil advocate here.
Okay.
You walk away from officer. Once again, we talk about this many times on the show. He did carry a quote-unquote weapon. What are you doing walking away from an officer, number one? I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. What we see in the video is different of what happened there actually. But we saw what happened. We don't know what happened before. And, of course, there's a lot of things that happened after. What a young man. No, there's a lot of craziness going on in this world. Unless you don't care about your life, I'm not saying that he doesn't. I don't know. I'm just saying the overall picture. If you don't care about your life, what are you doing? Knowing there's cops coming after you, carrying a knife. Why you don't drop the knife and just put your hands up? Why you have to walk away?
We will never understand. I think that part we'll never understand, because that part of the video, as it was before, there is more footage of this somewhere, but it's apparently it's gone. So we have no reason to know what conversation might have happened between McDonald and the cop, or if anything escalated. Now, as I said before in the video, you can see him kind of walking away from the police officers. He's not walking towards the police officer, which a lot of people would say, if he's walking towards you, both of us will agree. If we were police officers and we saw somebody with a knife, I'm not getting close to somebody that has a knife if I know that I have a gun to protect myself and the public. If he seems to be coming towards you or I, you're going to fire at him if that's the last resort to stop him. We're not going to execute and kill this man, but you're taught shoot to maim, not to kill. He was assassinated on the street. Now, there is absolutely no way on this planet that you can justify somebody that has a knife in their hand to empty an entire clip in him from the footage of where he was standing, because it looked like a roadway street, almost like an overpass kind of thing. Where is he going with a knife?
Okay. No, we don't know. But what, like I said earlier, and you know, we have a friend that was with us Saturday. That person's a cop, and that person told me before, some police officers are trigger happy. Now my question to you: do you think this was racially motivated? Oh, here I am going to kill a black guy now.
I don't think you know what? I don't think I would say I'm on a mission to kill this black guy. I think what happens is the stereotype of the race itself led to the fear that he had to stop this kid no matter what. And I think that is what led to him emptying 16 bullets into this kid. If we've seen so many different stereotypes of different minorities, African American, Hispanic, Jewish, whether it's race, creed, religion, whatever. If you are in a particular situation and you're going based on a particular ideology, whether that's the way you were raised, that's who you are now, that's your ideas of a particular group of people, you're going to go on that when you go into a situation. Now, we don't know what he's going through in his mind. But as I stated before, before we started to really get into this, as I stated, he had 18 citizen complaints in 14 years on the force. He's never been disciplined for any of them. 8 of them were for excessive force, 2 for use of a firearm. Numerous instances where he's had racial slurs involved in the situations where he's had to arrest somebody. So that begs to differ with that background. Where was his mindset at, and how did it escalate to this point where now we're here and we have a dead child at age 17, and we're just now getting to find out how this happened and why it happened and the footage that was there?
Okay, but okay, with this officer, apparently he seemed like he was a major a-hole who believed he, excuse me, a major a-hole believed that he had power in his hand and he abused his power.
Mm-hmm.
So he
and that's what it seemed like.
That's what it seemed like overall. But are you upset that he's out on bail now, free?
I'm not upset that he's out on bail because the bail was set high enough, because what you said, it was at $1.5 million, which most people, the reason why bail is set is to see if a particular alleged criminal is a travel risk, whether they're going to leave the city, leave the country, that kind of thing. Now, we know there's eventually, with the investigation that's happening, there's eventually going to be a trial. And he's going to have to answer for what has happened so far. At least we hope that that's going to be the next legal action that goes with this case. I'm not per se angry that he's out on bail. But the thing is, for the majority of cases like this, the police officers involved, a lot of times when they are in a situation where it's a perception that they killed a black person or a Hispanic person or whatever is the case, in a lot of instances we've seen over the years that there seems to be no punishment involved to the police officer. He's already, if I'm not mistaken, been fired or at least been suspended. And he's got the scrutiny now of knowing that the city knows what he's done. The country, the world, because of social media, knows what he's done.
But I think the uproar about him being out on bail today was, where did that money come from? A bunch of cops, a bunch of people put their money together to free a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Union. I'm like, I don't know the full details, but can you imagine people put their money together? Like, why? The people are upset with the unity behind it.
Yeah.
How we cannot help our own black brothers, our own people. But here we are, bonding together. I'm going to say it, white people, give or take, bonding together to get to raise $1.5 million to bail out a killer.
Yeah.
Point blank, he killed the guy. Let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
He killed the teenager. There's no point about that. But there have been other people who have been in jail for wrong reasons and cannot get out of jail. And
yeah.
Look at us today in America, in Chicago, they have a lot of problems right now. You found $1.5 million to bail out a cop?
Yeah.
Who shot 16 times towards a kid?
And what makes it worse is that the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, looks even worse in this whole situation. Veronica Moore, who's like a member of an organization called Fearless Leading by the Youth, said that the invitation for a meeting of the families and the police officer came a little bit too late. And this is her quote. Rahm ignores young black people until it's a moment when he needs us. It's not until we become useful to him and call the entire thing embarrassing, but an insult to Laquan McDaniel, to Laquan McDaniel's family, and to the people watching this case since last year. These are the kinds of things that are going to go on residually after everything else. You know there's going to be fallout. The fallout is going to be, one, the news tried to get the story put out and tried to get the went through legal ways to try to get this the footage shown on TV so people in the community knows what happened. That got shot down. The district attorneys and all of the other people, the state attorney, made sure that they did whatever they could to make sure that it didn't get out. Even the family didn't want to have anything going, even though they got a settlement. There wasn't even a lawsuit set out yet. So there are so many combustible things happening to this incident, and we're still looking at the fact that we have a 17-year-old who will not be able to live a full life. We don't know if he had a criminal background before that. That isn't even the case. That part is irrelevant to this. The situation is, even with the weapon in his hand, walking away from the police, one, two shots tops would be understandable if they're trying to bring someone down that they think is a threat to the public and to the safety of the police officers. To empty an entire 16-bullet clip into someone, that is just beyond. Unless they thought this kid was the Terminator, there is no reason to empty a clip into somebody at that range. And especially after he'd already hit the ground after the first shot. There's no explanation for it.
All right. Of course, there was a Black Friday protest in Chicago regarding the shooting. Do you think that Black protest has a cause on what happened Friday? I mean, do you think it mattered that people was outside the stores trying to block people from shopping into the stores?
I think what it did was bring more attention to the reasoning why, and the perfect time to do it was during Black Friday, which happened around here in the New York area and in front of a lot of stores, especially in Manhattan, downtown Brooklyn. I know there was some instances in, I think, New Jersey where people were protesting to make sure that there was light brought to the situation. Because there's still some people that don't understand the magnitude of this. And for that to happen, and then after usually, because I believe the footage was released either Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, to know that that happened, and then for you to actually say, well, I'm good enough to go out at 2 in the morning and shop at an electronics store to get myself a high-definition television when there's somebody out there that has died, it's a poignant thing for the demonstration. Now, did it do anything? Did I think it helped? I don't know. I don't know how organized a lot of this was.
In my opinion, it didn't help because if you block me of going to this store, I was going to another store. If you block me from that store, I shop online.
Yeah.
You know, the point of it is people not to shop.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a way to shop around it. And we have a caller. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Ah. Hello there.
Hello.
State your name, sir.
Oh, well, you know, some people call me Milton. Oh. Other people call me Milton X.
Hey, here we go. Let me walk away. Go ahead, Milton X. Take it away.
What's going on?
Go ahead, Milton.
Well, good.
Oh, let's preface this by saying a belated happy birthday.
I'm already pissed off. Obviously, the situation in Chicago speaks for itself. Not only do you have what I call him a terrorist race soldier out here shooting a young man in cold blood, 16 shots, 15 seconds, the fact that it was covered up for over a year, and only reason that this came out because of some people going to the judge there and having to make sure the video comes out. And once the video comes out, all of a sudden, he's charged with murder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not stupid here. You know, all of us ain't stupid. Then you got the situation at the Burger King there, going in and deleting, I think, if I'm correct, 86 minutes of footage?
Yes, 86 minutes of footage is missing from the entire security surveillance camera that actually got footage of the incident from the store.
Now, let's marinate on this. 86 minutes?
Yes.
Not 8 minutes. Not 6 minutes. 86, an hour and a half. See, when you're going to cover up something, you do it all the way. Apparently,
I guess they were taking their time to cover up the clues and everything. I'm just saying.
They're trying to whitewash it clean because the DA, Ms. Alvarez, she has a reputation of being shady herself. And, of course, Rahm Emanuel, who recently won a runoff election in April.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he's trying to push this back. If this comes out before then, he may not get reelected.
Oh, of course.
So, it's a whole corrupt system there in Chicago. So, if this Van Dyke, whatever his name is, go to jail, all of
them. Van Dyke.
Yes.
Right. Now, also number two, what I just heard from earlier about the whole him making bail. One thing about it, he didn't pay $1.5 million, he paid $150,000.
Yeah, I think you only you only need 10% of the 10%. Bail to get out.
Now, where would he get this money? Where would he get this money from? I don't know if in other situations like the Mike Brown case and other cases like that, there's a lot of GoFundMes out there or a lot of, you know, to be blunt, white supremacists out there that support what these cops do that will donate money to them. Easy. And, or the bigger elephant in the room, which is the possibility that the Chicago Police Union paid his bail, which is something even more uglier and sinister going on.
Why? Don't officers have to stick together?
And that's the problem. They're like the mafia, apparently. That's what it seemed like. That's why he talks about all the time. Well, what about the good cops? Well, when the good cops, you know, see the bad cops doing bad, they say nothing. And that's
a problem.
That's
a problem because they don't want to either lose their job or get in a conflict of it.
And that's where you get what's called the blue wall of silence, where you have that entire force field of police officers. If something happens, you get the idea like, well, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm still part of the police. I don't want to say anything for fear of retribution against me.
Any fear. There's been cases where people have tried to hire the whistleblowers, whatever have you, and their lives are made in living hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said, that's why it was like a mafia type deal. So it's definitely ugly. So that's why it goes deeper to the situation.
Of course,
you know what I'm
saying? I hear no evil. I speak no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you condone it by not saying anything.
Hey,
you know, when I was younger, I was told by my parents, you are who you associate yourself with. You understand what I'm saying? The man's character is said by the friends he keeps. So if you hanging around these people and call them your brothers or not, they doing all these foul things, what else am I supposed to say or think about you? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically what we have here fosters terrorism in a way. Because basically if you're black in this country and you see the police, you could be a hashtag in seconds. Don't matter if you're old and black, young and black man, black woman, whatever, straight, gay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you're black and you get caught by the cops, you better keep your mouth shut and pray. That's all you can do.
So, okay, but like I was telling Sean earlier, this kid, I'm like, yes, I don't know the history about this kid.
It doesn't matter the kid's history. No. Ronnie, it doesn't matter if he had a knife in his hand or not. Because let's be honest, I don't tie this in too with the case here. Not the shooting in Minnesota, the shooting, the dude that shot Planned Parenthood, right?
Yeah, in Colorado.
In that case, you're right. He shot at least 8-9 people. I think 2 or 3 of them died, and killed a cop, and was allowed to turn himself in. Now, there's a case where you figure the police will unload the clip. It'd be a case where they shot one of their own. So a Caucasian person could fight the police, shoot and kill the police, and still have the option of life. Black person looks at them wrong, or moves or does something, flinches the wrong way, instant death. And the thing, in the case of Tim Bill Rice, somebody said he was playing with a gun, or actually with a toy gun. They rolled up on him, and he got killed in 1.5 seconds. So it's a totally different rule out here for blacks and whites. That's why it doesn't matter if that kid was a scholar or a thug or whatever. He shouldn't have been killed that way or killed at all.
Okay, I understand that.
And that's it.
That's it? You done? You done? Are you done now?
I just got started, B.
Before you start to the next subject, I'd like to let people know that there was another mass shooting that happened on Black Friday. Go figure, it happened on Black Friday morning at Planned Parenthood at Colorado Springs Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Black, tell us a little bit of detail about this guy named Robert Deer that shot and killed people and
yes.
why he did it?
Robert Louis Deer, who apparently went in, and this guy was actually ready for some kind of war against Planned Parenthood because he went to the place with propane tanks, supplies, food, guns, and everything, and went to this anti-abortion clinic, or this the abortion clinic for Planned Parenthood, and he basically got a six-hour standoff that, as we just talked about before, left three people dead, nine others wounded, and the accused shooter actually dropped his gun after the SWAT team drove up to the building in an armored police car. And the thought process behind what this person was going to do, he set propane tanks in the area and was expecting to have a shootout with the police in an effort to ignite the propane tanks and blow the building up and probably take as many people with him as possible. If anyone has seen any pictures of him in the news or on TV, or he looks certifiably cuckoo.
Yeah,
scraggly beard, unkempt hair. He does not look too right in the head. But that could just be the appearance that he did, because he was basically living out in the outskirts of Colorado. He basically lived as a hermit in the Carolinas. He had a shanty, little shanty place that he lived in. He had a lot of anti-Obama brochures that he was handing out over a year ago. He basically thought that Planned Parenthood shouldn't exist. So he bought $6,000 worth of anti-Obama brochures and passed them along. And I'm telling you, this was a person that genuinely had an issue with the thought process behind Planned Parenthood. And apparently what set him off was the videos that we talked about a few months ago, those videos that were floating around about the body parts being sold and on the black market, fetal tissue being sold on the black market, those kinds of things that videos were up there. That kind of set him off, and that's what was the trigger for him to do what he did.
Okay, so go back to Milton's argument. K-Dog, you're on the line. We'll get to you in a minute. I did want to bring up that good point that Milton made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we have a kid who had carried a knife, got shot 16 times. Then you have a Caucasian, I'm not going to lie, who killed one of their own. If that happened in New York, they probably would kill him and bury him without us knowing. He killed
one of
two other people. Well, I'm just saying, I have to defend the NYPD a little bit. But bottom line, this gentleman's still alive. He was kept in – he had people hostile in hostage area for hours, and he's still alive?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know it's two different states, two different situations. But it's the thought process. I think Milton is trying to question the thought process. If you kill someone, you're supposed to be shot down already. If that man was shot, because he killed one of the officers, we would have no problem him being dead.
Not at
now,
all.
Now, this gentleman who's still alive – do not be surprised if someone come up with a statement, Robert Deer has a mental issue.
And if you listen to some of the stuff that he went through, he does have a criminal record. He has instances in his past. He was accused of domestic violence against his wife.
Mm-hmm.
There was no charges pressed. That was back in 1997. He was charged with being a peeping Tom back in 2002. Peering in bathrooms and watching people change in stores.
Right.
He was arrested and charged
hey,
two counts of animal cruelty. And we've heard that people that have cruelty towards
animals
usually progressively
right
move towards other
people. That's just the warm-up.
Yes. And that's usually where it starts. And we have now what happened, 12 people shot, three killed, including a cop.
Right.
And we're at the situation again, where how does this differ from the last thing that we talked about?
Right. Now let me put you on one second. Let's call this guy what he really is. He is a terrorist. He's a low-life thug who should have been in jail already.
and now committed terrorist acts against America. That's all he is. He's no better than ISIS. You understand?
Okay.
So you bring cocaine tanks and try to blow up stuff, you are a terrorist, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And imagine the narrative would have happened if they would have been ignited.
Hold on. I got to give it to K-Dog. K-Dog been waiting for a while.
Go ahead.
Never let K-Dog speak.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, brothers? All right. Now, listen here. About this whole, about both shootings. Now, with the case that's going on in Chicago, I mean, I find this, I call it a flat-out murder because this was just a brutal murder that a 60, and you know, this has happened far too many times, and you know, nobody wants to explain why this keeps happening, that another young black man was shot and killed by police, and it wasn't just shot, but also caught on tape, and it was hidden for a year. I mean, there's something wrong with this picture.
Yeah,
what's up?
I can explain it, Curlin. Basically, in America here, but all over the world, too, the white supremacists are at war with black people. That's all
it's a war that's been going on forever. It's the war that's been going on.
And it's getting turned up
now. It's getting turned up now. Of course it is. Now, listen here. Another young black teenager was shot and killed by a police officer who, by the way, they received many complaints about him. And now, as we speak, is released on $1.5 million bail.
Right.
Now, you know, it's like it's an ongoing situation where the very same people that are supposed to protect us are the same people that are ready to take us out. And this is the thing the system that we're living in now in America, where it's happened time and time again. And of course, you know, it's unsurprisingly that police officers, you know, they do get indicted for crimes, but for some strange reason, they always find a way to get away with it.
You know why, Curlin? Because the prosecutor and the police on the same side.
Well,
they work with each other.
Because
they're not going to work that hard to convince the police like that.
Well, this is the thing that the police, this is the thing, of course, and I heard what you guys were saying earlier, the blue wall of silence. Police officers are going to look out for their own. You could count how many police officers who have a conscience enough to say, man, that was wrong what happened. I'm ready to speak out to it for it. Now, if they speak out against that cop, they have to go into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go into hiding. You know what? Because you know what? You will be castrated. You will be called a traitor. Like, how dare you? You stab
someone in
the back, you will be killed. Exactly.
Or your family will be killed.
Exactly. They'll target you. They'll target your family. They'll target anybody who's associated with you.
Right.
Now, pardon me for switching subject because I could go on for this, but now since you guys switched the subject, about this Planned Parenthood shooting, this is the thing that's going on now, guys, and I hope you understand it, and I've said it before on this show. There are two things that run in this world, and it's also being financed, and that's politics and religion. And the money that goes on behind it, because this terrorist who attacked the Planned Parenthood, who attacked Planned Parenthood in Colorado and shot 12 people, killing three, he was ranting and raving, saying no baby parks. And mind you, now this is where the politics come in. This is where the religion and the politics come in. You listen to the rhetoric of these politicians when it comes to Planned Parenthood. Any crazy criminal animal who listens to these politicians say, we need to take these people out. Not knowing what Planned Parenthood has helped, how Planned Parenthood has helped women in the process of giving birth to their children.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of politicians that want to get rid of Planned Parenthood from
they want that wiped out, and they've been aiming for that. Listen to the rhetoric of the politicians for the 2016 presidential race. Listen to their rhetoric about Planned Parenthood. Now, this guy was such a fanatic, you know, a crazy fanatic, a terrorist, exactly, to be yes, that's the correct way.
And also, too, he ain't crazy neither.
No, there's no crazy in this one because
he planned that out.
You look at that record. You look at that
record.
I'm
sorry.
Look at his
record. What do you mean he's not crazy, Milton?
Not mentally ill, or he's crazy. No. This was premeditated. You know what I'm saying? He was purposely saying what he did.
Killing or his beliefs? Are you talking about what he did or his beliefs overall?
I'm looking at both his beliefs and the motive for crime because, remember, he's listening to what people are saying because, you know what, this is not the first time that Planned Parenthood has been attacked. There have been ambushes and shootings and bombings of abortion clinics all around. It's been going on for years.
It's been going on for decades.
Exactly. That's what I mean, decades. Thanks, Ron. It's been going on for decades because time and time again, like I said, you have politics and religion playing the roles in saying that, oh, abortion is wrong. And, I mean, if you're saying that abortion is wrong, you're saying the taking of a young life is wrong, then why do you feel the need to influence people who are criminals themselves, who are terrorists themselves, to go ahead and blow up an abortion clinic, killing people, to go ahead and shoot up a Planned Parenthood, killing people.
That's easy.
This is where
it
comes in.
So stop. You have to stop it. You have to fight fire with fire. When you
exactly.
fight evil, you blow it up. And that's what's in their mind. I'm not agreeing with
it. And that's the hypocrisy. And that's the hypocrisy of it. Because
and also, too, you got to look at here also, is easy access to guns.
Very.
You understand what I'm saying? Because
of
this
course.
Dude pretty much had a weaponry going on here. So,
I mean, how do you get your hands on propane tanks that easily?
I was reading in the Daily News this morning, and people was going crazy about this whole thing with the NRA. And they said that they have a lot to answer for, because how is it that this guy, this terrorist, had access to get his hands on those weapons? And not just plain weapons. I'm not talking about a 9mm. This guy didn't even have that guy's gun. That was just no 9mm.
They got the military joints out.
Exactly. They pulling out the big guns now.
Do
you guys believe overall, like we said, this is not the first, this won't be the last, but do you see more, this like a trending thing going on of stopping abortion clinics?
Oh, yeah. But Rodney, look how, but Hot Rod, guys, I mean everybody, look at the length of time. Look how many decades that this has been going on. Ever since they feel the need to, we need to get rid of abortion. Okay, need to get rid of abortion, but look at how they're doing it. Look at the violence that they're committing.
And also, too, with the weaponry getting more advanced and advanced, you know, it's going to get worse because the weaponry now is even worse now. So I'm like, hey, I could give me a couple of guns and some propane tanks and raise all types of hell.
Exactly.
And also, these guys here that do this here also have inner frustrations because they know they can't really stop abortion because it's a woman's choice whether to have an abortion or not. And since they can't control the woman's body like they want to secretly, they say, the hell, what's it? We're just going to blow up and take their resources away to have an abortion.
Yeah, and they use that fear to try to scare people away from actually getting those services that the government provides. Because then the government knows to regulate these places so that they know that there's a safe place for anybody, whatever your opinions about abortion is or not, the government provides that ever since Roe versus Wade to make sure that those are provided for women that need those services. And the thing is, let's blow up as many of these as possible.
Exactly.
Let's try and scare, kill as many people as possible, and we'll dissuade them from going to them.
And I'm glad that you mentioned this, Sean, because guess what? You know, Vicky Carwood, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood in the Rocky Mountains, said that the toxic public discourse was a factor in the carnage in Colorado Springs that killed three people, including a police officer, and wounded nine. And they said, she also went on to say, we've experienced so much hateful language, hateful speech, such a negative environment has been created around the work that Planned Parenthood does around the idea of safe and legal abortion. This is the thing. That's why I felt the need to mention about politics and religion playing a role in this. Because you have these politicians that are saying, well, we're going to gut Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And you have these religious leaders who are preaching, oh, well, you commit an abortion, it's a crime. Now, you have these crazed, not crazed, I'm not even going to say crazed, but you have these fanatics who are going out there, who are taking it to the extreme. And that's what's going on now.
And also, these people are being, you know, gassed up by the rhetoric from, you know, the Fox News of the world, the Sean Hannity's, the Rush Limbaughs, the Donald Trumps of the world, saying all these nonsensical, crazy things, even Ben Carson to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And there's a crazy situation. They get gassed up on that, you know, and they don't need much.
Yeah.
And boom, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, talk about craziness of people. There was a tweet that went out from Wendell Pierce. You guys, tell me, do you agree with this statement? I know most of us know this statement very well.
Yes.
He exposed something about American gun control, and he tweeted this: if every black male, ages 18 to 35, applied for a concealed and carry permit and then joined the NRA in one day, there will be gun control laws in a second. Do you agree or disagree?
Well,
I'd
like to see it.
Gun control was
Sean Black, take it away. Do you agree or disagree?
That's a strong statement, but you want to know what? Based on everything we've seen and heard, I would not be surprised if that was the case. And I think a lot of people think that the reason why you don't have as much gun control is that the NRA, with their lobbying wing and the money that they have and that they pump into the country's economy and into the government and all of the politicians that they put their money in, they look at this as, well, there are a lot of quote-unquote good Christian people that want to preserve gun laws so that the United States doesn't take away their right to their guns to defend themselves just in case. And that's the argument that they continue to use on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll guarantee you, if the shoe was on the other foot and we had the minority being the majority that had the power of the NRA and were putting the money in themselves, it'd be a completely different story. So I can definitely understand where that comment comes from.
I believe that on 110%. I'll take it a step further. If blacks were to form their own NRA, if you will, form their own gun association,
we would be caught. We would be, trust me, they would catch us in a heartbeat. They would outlaw us in a heartbeat with the stroke of a pen.
So you already know, because guns in America is power.
We already know how the system goes in this country. Come on now.
They make new laws in a heartbeat saying you can't have a gun, you can't use it this way. There is all types of laws.
They will even go to the
Let's put it to you like this. If Michael Bloomberg can actually open up a law to institute himself a third term as mayor in New York City when the previous limit was only two, and the reason why that was put in law was because of what happened with Mayor Ed Koch, who got four terms in 12 years to enforce term limits. If he can go in and lobby to get a third term, and as soon as he's reelected, rescind that so no one else after him can get into a third term, then you know that they can do something about gun laws wanted to.
Let's look at the big picture.
There you go.
Money's involved. Listen, guys, money's involved. Because let's look at the NRA. The NRA has Washington, D.C., has those politicians in their back pockets.
What?
They got them in their back pockets. So
back pocket,
no
front
way.
Pocket, side
yep,
pocket.
They have it all over. So guess what? They're not going to pass no law because, hey, it's money. Money talks.
And BS.
Okay,
talks,
I got tweeted a question, or a statement, I should say. But black gangs have guns, and the NRA doesn't stop them.
No, nope. Just depends.
Oh.
But see, the black gangs, a lot of them have their guns illegally. So that's a
I'm
totally
sorry,
different thing.
Yeah.
You can just round them up and put them in jail. When we're talking about here is illegally owning the gun. You can't touch nobody doing that. But, you know, Pookie and Ray Ray and them having the guns, you know, they little guns. First of all, they little guns are like a couple Glocks, couple machine guns. And they like the guns the white folk got. These
well,
white
you
folk
know what
military
it is.
Military joints
well,
out here, number
well,
one.
What? Well, guess
and
what?
They got
look
the
next.
Law on their side.
Well, next,
go ahead,
there's
K-Law.
Something else, too. There's something else, too, fellas, that we're not looking at, too. You know, when they talk about the gangs having guns. Let's not forget, gun smuggling. You could do that. Sean, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gun smuggling, because guess what? I could easily jump in my car, head down to Atlanta, Georgia, where guns
mm-hmm.
are cheap. I have a lot of cash in my pocket. Guess what?
Hey, they ain't going to ask no questions.
No questions asked. Put them all
no
in the trunk. Put them all in the trunk of my car. I'm not gonna fly because Hot Rod. Do you remember when I sent you off the air? I did share an article with you that was in the New York Times about that. About the drunk.
I was drunk, so I don't remember.
You
yeah.
drunk?
But guess what? Yeah, and they talked about that. They're not gonna take a plane. No, I'm gonna drive down. I put some gas in the car. Drive down to Atlanta, Georgia. With a wad of cash, spend it, and come back to New York. All right, guys. Hey, guess what, fellas? I got me a couple of rounds here. Check it out.
And one of the other places that this is strong in as well is in Virginia, because if you remember, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, Michael Bloomberg, while he was mayor, actually went to try to do a sting of people that were smuggling weapons from Virginia up to New York.
Yeah.
And he caught a lot of flack for doing this because the thought process was, who is this big shot coming from New York telling us what to do down here in Virginia, blah, blah, blah. Now,
I remember that.
We know that the issue here, among all else, we know that weapons being sold illegally and free and being put on the street so very easily and so very quick,
in a heartbeat.
That's the main problem. The issue is now, as we've seen with the NRA and their lobbying arm is probably the strongest out there. And we can go into like Monsanto and these companies that lobby for, GMO food and those kinds of things where they have the money and backing. The NRA has so much clout and so much power involved. Anything that has anything to do with gun laws and regulations, they're going to fight to the death about.
Oh, yes, they will.
And that's
they'll
the problem.
And you know what? Politicians will be on their side because, like I said before, they're in their pockets. They got them.
And that's the most important thing.
I'm going to pay for your campaign. Hey, if you vote against me, I'm not going to contribute anything to your campaign. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight for you. Let's shake on it. That's what's going on.
I think we got to get our own political action group together to fight this. That's what it comes down to, politics and money.
Talk about people. Of course, we have our youth. Our people are getting killed every day, either by the cops or we're killing each other. And there have been always been complaints about black-on-black crime, you know, blacks are killing blacks. Is there a major difference between black on black killing one another compared to the police killing us?
Well, let me answer that. Right. Let me answer that question. Number one, when you have, and then not to just quote unquote black on black, it's basically criminal behavior in these project areas and things of that nature. See, the police, allegedly, are supposed to be better than that. You know what I'm saying? We pay our tax dollars so they can protect us from the criminal element. So when they do what they do, it's basically saying they're no better than the thugs in the street. So if I'm worried about, you know,
thug behavior in the cities wherever I'm living at, I can't call the cops. They'll shoot me. And also, to be honest about it, when the police do what they do, in a lot of ways, it's state-sponsored terrorism. Bottom line. Because what they're doing is no better, and in cases like Chicago here, even worse, because they try to cover it up. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, the quote-unquote black-on-black crime, which is, you know, a foul statement in itself, because when whites kill each other, there's no white-on-white crime, or no Latino-on-Latino crime, or Asian-on-Asian crime. For some reason, it's just black-on-black crime. That's a whole other topic for a whole other show. But when those criminal elements do what they do, that's bad. But who protects us from the police? That's why it's ugly when the police do what they do.
Sean Black?
Well, there's a lot of truth in that statement. And I think that when you look at everything that's been going on, when you hear black on black, when you hear that, there's always that negative stigmatism. It's much more so noted when crime happens when it's within the African-American community. Over what? We don't know what it is. But it usually gets broadcast all over the news. They're killing each other in the street over whatever. How many times over the last month or two have we heard of some young child being innocently killed or sitting in their apartment, maybe playing video games, looking at TV, or was asleep? And because some guys outside were shooting their guns, somebody now has a dead child.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're hearing about cops killing African-American boys, girls, women, whatever has happened. And it gets played out so much more so in the news. There are things that are happening between in the cities, inner cities, big cities, small cities, between the minorities themselves with the violence and strife within their own communities and the police officers that have to police them. And as you just pointed out, Milton, who polices the police when something like that happens? The problem is who polices the kids that are going through what they're going through and they're having the crime within their own community. And that has to be answered before we can get any real big solutions.
And also, let's be honest about these things as well. When something positive does happen in the cities, no one reports that either. Because I was reading somewhere where some kid in Chicago was working on something for like gas, that was testing little things, trying to make that better, stuff like that. There's, you know, academies in Chicago training up young black boys to be leaders and stuff like that. So there are people trying to make a difference and do positive things in these inner city communities. However, that doesn't get reported at all, mainly because, you know, the media is not run by African-Americans at all. They're not going to put positive things like that out there. You know what I'm saying? As far as fixing that goes, basically to fix the so-called crime problem in poor, impoverished areas is there has to be an economic thing first. Jobs, economy have to be intact. Because if that's not intact, if I'm poor, I can't get an education, or education is just poor quality, because that's where I'm going to. You know what I'm saying? And also what has to happen in the black community to hold them accountable for certain things, there has to be a family structure. There's too many times in the cities, the men and women are not together. You know what I'm saying? The whole single parenting thing and, you know what I'm saying? And that whole thing is pretty much destroyed the inner cities in a lot of ways because there's no building going on.
Exactly.
There's no, you know, when a kid, basically, I'll listen to Dr. Bush Watkins, but Dr. Carl Anderson, and he said a white kid is born, he's born with 87% of the stuff he already needs. When a black kid is born, it's like 5% or less because we don't pass anything down to our generation like that. We don't pass down businesses and things like that. Because if you had a family business, he ain't going to be out in the street gangbang.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what has to happen. But, you know, man and black woman got to be together for that to occur.
Yeah.
All right, so K-Dog, take it away.
Well, all I got to say is this, is that crimes do happen. And, you know, and let's just look at the media. Like, whenever something happens in the black community, like, let's just say there's a shooting in the inner cities. Oh, my goodness, there was a shootout. And, you know, it's a young black man convicted of killing another black person. It gets all over the media. It's front page news. But in the, mind if I play the race card a little bit, but in the white areas.
That's my job.
Yeah. In the white areas, you know, and let's be real, there are crimes that happen, but it never gets recorded.
Really?
And this is the thing that's going on, because you'll find out about these crimes when you watch certain shows or certain channels. They're like, wow, this crime, and it's 10 times worse. Now, as for the police officers, Now, what I'm about to say is, you know, and I'm saying this bluntly. I understand the job of a police officer is to protect and serve. It's written in black and white. If you are to protect and serve, then that does not give you the right to use your weapon against someone who is unarmed to shoot at them 16 times. To shoot 41 bullets at an unarmed man, that doesn't give you the right, because you know what? You're a criminal. You are a criminal. You should be held responsible for your crime because you just committed a murder.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, and Milton, I agree with you with when it comes to the black families. This is what the black families must do with the children. Instead of going out to buy those $200 sneakers, why not take the $200 and invest them in Hooked on Phonics? And also, it is important, let me just add something else too that's major. It is important as parents to be the first teachers of your children, both mother and father. And you know, it's like this, like they say, oh, but if the parents don't know no better, then you know what? Parents, teach your children about themselves. Teach them the history of us as a people instead of showing us the garbage, the nonsense that we get paid to act on TV. Let's focus on who we are. Let's focus on getting our pride. Let's focus on standing up. Let's focus on unity. That's what we need to do, and on building our community.
That almost sounded like a postcard.
Yeah,
I know, right?
True indeed.
But okay.
And you is right, because we're attacked because we're weak. You know what I'm saying?
Or at least perceived to be weak.
Together we're strong.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, together you're strong.
Well, guys, you sound like All Together Now, that BS group that's outside right now, and yes, I do call them BS, the Black Lives Matter organization.
You know,
how do you feel about
and I'm sorry. That's not nothing, because you know what? If you're saying Black Lives Matter, say all Black Lives Matter.
Milton X, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
All lives matter. Yes, we need unity among us brothers. But white people matter too. Asian people matter. Jewish people matter. Muslims matter. So go ahead, Milton. Preach your hatred right now. Entertain.
Man, but I'm preaching fact. I ain't preaching no hatred.
No,
first
you
of all,
hatred, not
the whole
That's my opinion.
And you're wrong, but that's okay. But the whole All Lives Matter thing was just an affront to Black Lives Matter. Because when black people start to stand up for themselves in any type of way, it gets other people nervous, so they got distracted and deflect and sidetracked. That's why you have, well, all lives matter. No, we're talking about the black ones right now. Because we studied earlier, this when blacks were shot in the street like dogs, and whites to go out here and damn near kill everybody, and be brought home with respect, like Dylan Roof. I ain't forgot about him neither.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? As he did in South Carolina, they gave him some Burger King. And you can't even walk down the street and without getting killed? If you black, that's why the whole Black Lives Matter thing
but,
is prevalent.
Okay, but sir, at the Planned Parenthood, there was people that's probably non-black that got killed by terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, once again, doesn't all lives matter? People got killed for no reason.
No, but see, but
that's
the thing. The whole,
you know,
say, see, you can call up in that whole phrase, and you can like go about behind the meaning of what that truly is. They're just trying to deflect from the Black Lives Matter thing. It ain't about all lives. They don't care
Black
about
lives
all
matter.
Lives. Come
what,
on
what's
now.
The point of Black Lives Matter?
Well, the Black
thing.
Lives Matter thing, what they're trying to do is appeal to the moral fiber of the country and say, listen, black people are getting disrespected and getting assassinated out here. Please let's come together and stop it. Me, I don't go for that because there's no punishment in that. You understand what I'm saying? I was more for the justice or else thing because I'm believing when anyone attacks us, we should punish them. And the best way to punish them is financially. So I'm not trying to hold hands and bring unity and love everybody. So I know everybody don't love me. I'm not concerned about that. But I remember Dr. King told Harry Potter, and Sidney Poitier one time, I feel like I've integrated my people into a burning house. You know what I'm saying? So that whole all lives matter, let's all hold hands, no. Listen, this is a race-based society, and I want my people to win.
But you want to know something, and this is the thing. Although I agree with where you're coming from, the problem
yeah.
in that thought process is, although we know all lives matter, that isn't even the issue. Problem is, and it's the perceived ideology that black people in general aren't together enough to do anything.
That's what
past
I'm, that's
15
what I'm
minutes.
Saying.
Now,
that's what I'm saying. We're at each other's
yeah.
throats. Worlds at each other's throats, and that's a problem.
And that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. Now, the problem
yeah.
is in the execution of the message. There are tons of people that are out there that are all about Black Lives Matter. But if we were to hear Asian Lives Matter or Jewish Lives Matter, because we've heard a lot of things that have happened racially to Asian Americans, to
yeah.
Latinos, all
yeah,
the
yeah.
people that are involved that live in this country – they also have the right in general to say the exact same thing that we're seeing a lot
that
of African Americans do.
But the thing is, you know why they don't have to. They don't, because they got the economics together. They don't need
not,
to say
not
that.
Really.
They just
but,
got
but,
their, oh,
but,
don't you talk about it. The Asians got their money right. The Jews
but,
got their money right and own things. They ain't got to appeal no moral character.
But,
if you mess with them, you get punished with the money.
But,
and lack
but let
thereof.
Me tell you. Let me tell you, you know what they have that we don't have? A strong, united front.
Absolutely.
That's
it's not about being united because all Jews ain't united, all Asians ain't united. But they got the money
but,
right.
But you know what? But I'm going to tell you, they look out for one another. Believe it or not, they look out for one another. If you're in the Jewish community, they have each other's back. They may not like each other personally, but believe it or not, they helping each other. You may
but,
see
but,
it in the Latino
also,
community.
In the Latino community.
They may not
I'm,
like each
right.
other, but they look out for one another. Because you know
right.
what? Listen, this is the thing. We all know, okay, Milt, you know about divide and conquer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, Hot Rod, I hope you get, you know, you guys could jump in on this too. I want to hear everybody's voices. Now, when it comes down to the unity, to forming the united front, why, you know, you look at the way we are as a people. You know, we should be united, but yet we're not. You look at our community, we're not. We are so separated.
I'm going to ask you with a couple quotes here. Marcus Garvey said, I'm not trying to take every black person to Africa. Because some black people are no good here, and there'll be no
yeah.
good over there, too.
Exactly.
Also, in Hidden Colors 3, there was a man called George Frazier. He's half black, half Jewish. And what he said was basically, all about businesses, right? He said, if all things have to be equal, I'm a Jew, you a Jew, I'm going to put my money with you first. But all things have to be equal. Here's the thing. all Jews are united because the higher up Jews that are doing their thing ain't messing with the bummy, dusty Jewish people out here. The Asians, the higher up Asians, ain't messing with the bummy Asians out here. But that's why I say, white people, we gotta leave the dusty niggas behind. We gotta leave the ratchetness behind. We gotta leave the hood rats behind. You understand what I'm saying? And the intelligent black people gotta unify amongst each other. We the hood
rats. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying.
All right, guys.
All right.
We gotta have a power structure here.
Hot rod.
All right, guys. Time is running out, but I want to ask one last question. Oh, number one, before we go, I know Milton asked one day he's gonna end up marrying a white woman. With the way
that
he
ain't
is.
That ain't happening, bro.
But other than that, I got to change the topic.
There's too many beautiful black women out here for me to marry, for that to happen.
Okay, watch him end up with Anitra B. Oh!
Oh, boy.
That's all right.
Yesterday, Kobe Bryant announced that he's going to retire after this season. He was spent like, what, 20-something years in the NBA?
Yeah, 19
Sean Black.
Season.
Yeah.
19th season NBA. How do you feel about Kobe Bryant? Do you give him any respect? Do you still care about this guy? Or you can't wait for him to get the hell out?
I'll put it to you like this. Kobe Bryant is the closest thing that I will call to Michael Jordan's ghost. For the 20 years that he's been in the league, this is his 20th year, he has mimicked, he has done, he has played as hard as Michael Jordan in his prime. And a lot of people say that that's sacrilegious, but hey, look, the man's got 5 rings. And
exactly.
Everybody thought that Kobe Bryant was ready to get that 6th ring.
17 All-Star.
He's been in the All-Star game probably every year that he wasn't injured.
Yep.
We all know his accolades involved. The problem and this is the sad part about it, is what's happened in the last 3 years with Dr. Jerry Buss passing away, who was the owner of the Lakers, and watching Jim Buss, his son, and Jeannie Buss, the sister, who was the fiance of the Knicks GM/president, Phil Jackson, and watched this franchise get pissed away. It's sad because there's been no help for Kobe the last couple of years, 2-3 years, to kind of disguise what's happened, which is he's become a fadeaway jump shot shooter with almost no lift in his game in his jump shot anymore.
Okay.
And it's kind of sad to see him kind of prostituted away for the last few months of this career, of this year. But to get the accolades that he deserves based on what he's done is the best thing that's happened out of this, because he will definitely – I wish he would have announced this earlier in the year. Because the New York fan base loves Kobe Bryant. And
right.
They were robbed of that from that sense.
For some reason, you're right. New York love Kobe Bryant. And I'm not one of them.
Yeah, they do.
Go figure. But, Kato, take it away. What do you think about Kobe retiring?
Man, Kobe, listen. Kobe Bryant's name will be among some of the greats in basketball. I put him in the same category as Russell, Chamberlain, Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. He's the second coming of Michael Jordan. And you know what? Look at his accomplishments, especially in that year that he scored 81 points. He came close to breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record. And, I mean, 5 championships, 17 All-Stars, you can't beat that. Kobe's name will be amongst some of the greatest in basketball. And I mean, him retiring, I mean, basketball is going to have to look for someone. It's going to be hard to replace Kobe in the game. That's my opinion.
Milton X, what's your hatred about Kobe Bryant?
I don't hate Kobe. I respect him. He a vicious.
Yes, master.
Intelligent.
Yes, master.
You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Master.
Savage. I know. You know what I mean? I respect that. And that court, he takes your heart and your soul and is unapologetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, black people need to be more like that than sucking and jiving a master. You understand what I'm saying? Because his attitude is, this is my court, I'm going to dominate. And as a people, we need to learn to dominate. You understand what I mean? So
yeah.
I respect the man. He's like the crowd said, he's the closest thing to Jordan out there. He, you know, great defensive player, great offensive player, clutch. You know, he did what he had to do. He may have hung on a little bit too long, but, you know, that would happen with a lot of great players. And I do agree with Sean's earlier comment that basically the Lakers organization has used him as a prop to sell tickets the last 2 or 3 years.
All right. Well, Kato, what's your final thought on everything?
Well, my final thought on everything, number one, about the shooting in Chicago, I call it a flat-out murder. It's a shame that a young man had to lose his life. I mean, and this continues. We got to do something about it to put an end to this. And, of course, to the Planned Parenthood, when you have, like I said, politics and religion influencing you to do the work to take it to the extreme, we've got to do something to put a stop to it. And, of course, you know, all I got to say is this, is that we just got to do something. It's going to take a long time, but we just got to do something about these guns hitting the streets in the hands of wrong people. That's all. And Kobe Bryant, hey, one of the greatest players ever.
All right. Milton X, when is the wedding between you and Anitra B, and what's your final thought?
I think that's the final thought.
That's not happening. Also, before I begin, let me get a special shout-out to those coon-ass preachers out there that met with Donald Trump today.
That's shameful, man.
I hope them butter biscuits tasted real good. Now, secondly, about the Chicago thing. Yeah, see, a lot of coons, they love them butter biscuits, but, you know, I'll discuss that later. The Chicago thing is basically young white man was assassinated in the street and covered up by Chicago government. Corrupt as hell. And, of course, the Planned Parenthood situation, nothing but more but another homegrown terrorist. It is what it is. Basically, we have to get our economic base. We have to, the men in the black community have to stand up and be men and provide and protect. We need to get our guns legally. We need to handle our business and create our own businesses so we can fight and punish those who attack us.
Look at that tongue of coal there coming in.
Thank you so much, guys. K-Dog, Milton, thank you so much for calling in and making this show very entertaining.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey,
thank you,
you're
guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome,
and the pleasure was all yours, guys.
Nah, it was yours. I gave you some ratings tonight, boy.
Nah, it was all yours, fellas.
Of course. Yes, you did. All right, guys. Later.
All right. Later, guys.
Sean Black.
Yes, sir.
On Black Friday was, you know, chaos and mayhem as usual.
Yeah.
And I sent you guys videos of the fight that happened at Black Friday, If you went shopping with your child and they start grabbing things from your child, how you would react or handle that situation?
I tell you one thing. I saw the instance, one of the videos that you showed me, I believe was in California, where they had, I guess it looked like a vegetable steamer or something in a box that an 8-year-old child had in her hand, and a grown-up snatched it right out of the child's hand and then got into a shouting match with the parent. Here's my initial problem. Black Friday has basically turned into an excuse for all humans to become prehistoric savages for the extent of a deal. I'm going to go ahead and break somebody's neck for a $5 toaster that I can get for $10 usually the rest of the year. It's proven, it's been admitted, that prices are jacked up the month before Thanksgiving, so that when we get to close to Black Friday, they bring the prices to the normal value so that they create a demand for people to go to the store. And then you see the discrepancy in the price, you're going to go out and shop because it's much different than what you saw a month ago. So the problem here is, why do we place so much value on Black Friday deals? I mean, is it that important for you to go out there and get those socks or get that TV for like 80% off? There are people that don't have dental benefits and they're running out to buy themselves new sneakers or get themselves a new toaster or TV or something. This country has misplaced a lot of its importance and urgency and put them in the wrong areas, and that's part of the problem. That's why we get so many of these videos that we've looked at ourselves and wondered, how in the hell did this happen?
Well, I just got a tweet right now from Mr. Kelly about the police situation, and he said, don't be mad about the police union posting bail. That's what they're supposed to do. Be mad about the missing videotapes. What do you think about that?
That actually makes sense, and I said that before. That's the first thing that I brought up, was the fact that those tapes, 86 minutes, almost an hour and a half of footage gone. What happened in that span that disappeared, and what is missing from it that is going to be so incriminating or non-incriminating? We don't know what's going on there. So that has definitely got to be a worry, because as we said before, that smells of a cover-up.
Oh, but you know what? Cover-ups is a logic thing to do now. Because we all try our best to cover our asses in the best way, whether you're at work, in a relationship, or with your parents. One way, shape, or form, we all try to cover up our asses. So was this right or wrong? I don't know. I wasn't there. But it's a normal thing. So that's why I'm not surprised by these protocols or the system. I'd be surprised if it went by the proper protocol. No, that's like there's a God out there for real.
That is true.
You got 3 minutes left? What's your final thought? I'll give you a minute and a half.
I'll give you 20 seconds. Here we go. In this day and age now, where we're seeing less and less of a dependence on people actually communicating with each other by, you know, talking to each other, communication-wise, I guess we have to kind of adopt a little more of the social media aspect and try to see where the news is coming from. Because now we're getting news much more so from Twitter and Facebook and all these other places. And they're doing a much better job of getting us the news than in other instances in general where we don't know if that news is real or not. And I think that that's basically what works in today's day and age. And I think you get your news from social media. I'm one of the few that still looks at the news and reads newspapers and stuff. Maybe I'm so old school. I don't know.
You're old school. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do get most of our topics from social media. We go by what's trending, and we figure y'all guys want to talk about it, we should talk about it. And that's how we get our topics of the show, and that will keep us going strong since, March or April we've been on the air?
Mm-hmm.
And from Sean Black, Anisha B, and myself, we cannot thank you so much for your support, for your, you know, calling in on the show, for being part of the show, and making the show entertaining. Yes, we have our good parts and we have our bad parts, but we're still in the learning process, and we continue to grow, and we try to get better at it each time.
Exactly.
Sean Black and I, we did a show by ourselves tonight, and look, we did not need Anisha B, because we don't need her. She's garbage anyway. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the Hot Rod, with
Sean Black.
And Anisha B. We'll talk about Anisha B. Who cares? But tune in next week for another edition of racism, sexism, cop killer. Who knows what we're going to talk about on this show? That's why
and
this show
cereal.
Is
plenty of cereal. Yeah.
Yes. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.